Praise God. Well, we're back this evening again looking at the life of Christ. We've been, spending a lot of time looking at things in Scripture concerning the Word, the value of the Word, making sure we listen to it. And we started with it looking some things with the parable of the sower, and we're going to end with this. We're going to begin to look into the parable of the sower because of what Jesus said about the parable of the sower. And we want to get a hold of this fact that with him telling the disciples, knowing the parable of the sower, if you don't understand it, you're not going to understand all parables. And so, what is the purpose of parables? What were they for? They're for this purpose. They're to teach spiritual principles of the Word of God, of how the kingdom of God works, how spiritual laws and rules that you follow in the kingdom. Most of the time in Scripture, people take the parables and they make them into natural story stuff. They turn them into natural story, and it isn't spiritual law. They don't see what it's supposed to represent. They think it represents natural things. Well, it doesn't. Doesn't represent natural stuff. And people get over there. You know, like they take the parable of the sower and so-called prosperity people take it. Oh, it's talking about money. We believe for 100-fold money. It isn't talking about money. And people get in the extremes of this, and this is why we have such extremes today on stuff that's being taught, because whether people like it or not, there's a lot of demonic deception in teaching today. There's a lot of people messed up in ministries who have yielded to wrong things and haven't really learned the principles of the kingdom, just looking for natural stuff. And I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to have peace and joy in this earth if you're looking to the natural to give you that. It ain't happening. You can pray night and day for it, because what you want to have happen ain't going to happen. You know, thank God there'll be a time on the earth when it goes in the millennial reign, and it's going to be that time we, the church, gets taken, and we'll have all this peace and rest stuff. But until then, you're in the earth, and while you're here in the earth, down in this place, Jesus said there is tribulation, there's problems. And he said he's overcome it. So we got to live like here in our thinking. Get in your mind that you're an overcomer. Amen. Quit trying to overcome. Amen. Stop it. See, this is one of the great things. Well, you know, people are trying to overcome things. You have already overcome in Christ Jesus. People are trying today, you know, the church, people trying to get healed. The Bible says you are. You've been delivered from the curse. People have so much wrong thinking. They have been taught wrong. So really, they want to attain to a certain place. You can't go there if you're believing the wrong thing, because if you're believing the wrong things, you're saying the wrong things, then you do the wrong things.
Right.
And the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Quit trying to get it. He lives in you. It's a person. It's the Holy Ghost. The know-it-all lives in you. You have it. See, praise God. You know?
Hallelujah.
That's right. He reveals the mysteries of the kingdom to us. That's his job. Do you think he doesn't do that? You have to beg him to do his job? You know, what would you want to be as you have a business and you have to beg the people to do their job? Would you want to keep them? It's like, you know, if the Holy Ghost, if I got to beg him, go live in somebody else. Leave me alone. You know,
Amen.
We don't beg him. He is always going to do the will of Jesus. The Holy Spirit isn't disobedient to the will of Jesus.
That's right.
That'd be two different gods. Always got this and things that that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. That's when I talk to the Holy Spirit, I always say to him, you know, Jesus said you would do such and such. I want to thank you. Hallelujah. I want to thank you because that's what you're going to do for me, exactly what Jesus said, and I thank you.
Amen.
People are always asking for something. You know, the Holy Spirit gives you comfort, and people are praying for comfort. What are you praying for comfort for? You have the Comforter in you.
Amen.
You say, Holy Spirit, I need comfort, and you're the one that gives it to me. I just want to thank you. You're giving me comfort. We're not begging for this stuff. So wonderful. Hallelujah. See, and if you think right, you'll think like an overcomer. When trouble comes, you will see yourself as winning when you just start to fight.
Amen.
That's it. This is the good fight of faith. You always the champion. You get the trophy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So we want to live and walk in line with that. We're going to go to the parable of the sower. We're going to go down through. I'm going to read it out, first of all, out of Mark, the fourth chapter. What we're going to do is we're going to go through this because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recorded the parable of the sower. They said some things a little different and sort of good because you get a different view of it on some things that he says. But we're going to look at definitions of words. What do they mean? One thing I found out a long time ago, the Lord spoke to me about studying the word and told me, he said, and many times he'd say, do you know what that word means? You know, we have an idea in our mind what we think a word means, and I got over looking what it means. I thought, oh, it don't mean what we think. What we think. And this is one thing. You need to understand this about it. If you read things and you don't know, you're interpreting it yourself, it may be incorrect of what you're believing. That's why we study to show ourselves approved. We just don't read to show ourselves approved.
That's right.
And so you have to find out. I found out many times of looking in on definitions, what does stuff mean? And, like the word tribulation, you know what it means to most Christians? It's a time period or something that's going to go on in a book of Revelation. That's what it is. So people have to get themselves thinking in line. It's one of the things, look into the Word of God and what the Word of God says about things. Find out the use of words. Many times you find this out if you look in the King James Version. We have a lot of new translations, but even in the King James Version, there's many times words are used there. They're archaic to us. We don't use them anymore. But if you actually look up in an older dictionary, you can look up things and find out that lots of times the words that they used were correct. We just don't use those words and we don't really know the definition of them. Lots of times we use definitions of them, but they're wrong. Our ideas of what they mean. But if you really look them up, you find out, they were using a right interpretation of what it meant at that time. Because today, you have to watch it because there's a lot of stuff changes a lot today. We use words today and definitions of words that they didn't when I was growing up. They mean completely different things. So, it's good to look back and to find out, what were they saying when they did this instead of what we're saying today?
Right.
And so, this is where we study. So we're going to look at this. We're going to look at the parable of the sower, which Jesus said, you have to know this if we're going to understand parables and the fact that parables deal with the kingdom of God and how it operates and how it works. Principles of the kingdom, laws and rules of the kingdom. And so we need to understand these things and what they're talking about because we're going to deal with the foundation of what parables, of understanding the parables. Now in Mark the fourth chapter, starting at verse 1, what I want you to do is we start to read this. Don't even think about the parable of the sower. Put yourself in a position right now that you're a person who has never read the Bible. You don't even know what the New Testament says. You haven't got the writings of Jesus. And think about what these people heard said. See, when we read it, one of the things that we have a hard time learning from, we always keep in mind all the things we know, and it's hard to receive new revelation when you already think you know. Just consider yourself. What would these people think? Because see, we have already read what Jesus said about what it means. Well, what would they have thought when they heard it? So this is what happens in the beginning here. From verse 1 through 9, Jesus makes his statement in verse 1. And again he began to teach by the sea. And great multitudes was gathered to him so that he got into a boat, sat it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching. You know, why did he go out and sit? It says he sat on the sea. What's talking about here? He was wasn't out on the ocean. And one of the things they talk about in the Bible, which we have in the Jordan, and they have what it is a lake. And he sat on there. What was a good thing he said out there? Last time you get air off the water, carries your voice. You ever find that? You sit out on the water, lots of times you can talk, people in Lincoln hear you. You stand on the other side, they don't hear you. It's amazing how voice carries. So that was his PA system. He was smart. Well, it says, he said, then he goes, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have any earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no crop. But other seeds fell on the ground, on the good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up increasing, and produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Now, listen to what he says. When he talked to those people, I will guarantee you, they all knew this. Most of these people are farmers. Most of them are around this all the time. They know what this is being talked about. So to them, they think they know what he says. But he ends it by saying in verse 9, and he said to them, he who has an ear, let him hear. So he made a statement to them that they didn't know what it was. They didn't pay any attention to it. They thought they knew what it said. So he's going to go on, we find from it, he doesn't explain it to them. In other words, he makes a statement, and they have to respond to it. He said, he was an ear to hear, let him hear. So there's something they need to hear. So they heard this, thinking they knew, and they didn't. Now we find out, he made this statement to the multitude, his disciples and things were all there. So in verse 10 it says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. Those were around him. See, some people had ear to hear. And they're, hold it. Why did you give that parable? Because I will guarantee you, they knew naturally what he said. They knew it from a natural standpoint. See, this is one thing you need to understand, that the things of God are not just thrown out there so you just know everything. No, the Bible says that we seek, we find. When we knock, it's open to us. You always got to remember that spiritual principle. Jesus said those principles numbers of times. Why did he say them? Why are they recorded? Because you're going to have to go after it to know. That's just the way it is. We should not leave people the idea. It's like living in this life. Did you ever know you have to go after things? They don't just come to you?
Amen.
But somehow the fairy tale of Christianity, it's like God's going to do all this stuff and God's going to... It's not the way it works. Remember, the earth in its operation comes out of the spirit realm. Its laws are mirrored many things that are in the kingdom of God. So you're going to have to follow these principles. I mean, it's the kingdom they come out of. So the church doesn't teach it like that generally. You know, they teach there's some kind of other laws and all other kind of rules, and the kingdom of God is mystical. It's not mystical. You can look in the earth and see how laws operate, how gravity operates, you know, how it works. There's laws and rules and how it does. If you defy it, it could kill you. But if you know how to follow it and do whatever else, it's a blessing.
Amen.
Well, the kingdom's the same way. Defy the laws of God, it could kill you. Follow them, great blessing. Great blessing. It's the same way. So you got to get in your mind and in the thinking about this. So these ones, what moved them to ask about it? You know why? They weren't a multitude to just follow to go out to get healed or go out to... learn. These people followed him. You're going to have to learn this. Revelation comes from following.
Amen.
It doesn't come because you're a Christian.
That's right.
This is why people, these Christians, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's right. But you're going to be a Christian dummy. That you will be. You're going to have to follow. And so that's just the way it is. You know, so like going to school, if you want to learn a subject, you got to show up. It would be good to follow. You want to learn something? Follow. It's the principle. So what do they do? So he made a statement and he said to them, to you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Why? Your followers, your disciples. It's for you. See, we need to teach these principles to people that if they're not going to follow. See, we waste our time trying to teach non-followers.
Amen.
We waste our time.
Amen.
Instead of trying to always pray them out of their problems, we should pray them into problems so they come to a place, I got to follow, you know. No, we want to fix their problems so they stay out there away from God and we become their God.
Preach.
So they can come and worship us. No, we need to. So these, they want to know. They're interested in this. So you have been giving you the mystery of the kingdom. Those who are the outside, things come in parable. Why are they outside? They don't follow. They're outside. They're not seeking, so therefore they're not finding. They're not knocking, therefore it's not opening unto them. Then can they go to the inside? Well, sure. How did the other ones get to be on the inside? How did they become the ones that it's for you to know? Very simple. They're disciples. Very simple. Very, very, very simple thing. They're followers. Now, he said, for this purpose. So seeing, they may not see and not perceive. Hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Now I want you to know this. The parable of the sower has this principle in it. What he just said here. The parable of the sower is, it will tell you why they're not going to learn anything. Why they're in their condition. They are a ground problem. God didn't create them in that manner. They chose to be that. You're going to find out. You choose to be the ground that you are. God doesn't
Amen.
Choose it. You choose it.
Amen.
You choose the type of ground you are. Now, so when we understand these principles, this is why I like it like this. Because see, it has nothing to do with genius of people or anything. It just determines what you want to be, and anybody can. It's not for the brilliant. It's not. There's many people who are brilliant or terrible ground. It's one of the greatest things that'll make a good ground is to be humble enough to make a good ground. So he said, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? He asked, what, do you not understand it? Well, I'm sure they said, no, we don't. So he said to them, how then will you understand all parables? So in other words, he told them, you don't understand this, then how will you understand all parables? In other words, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to tell you, because now, see why? They ask. Ask and you shall receive. We want to know, what do we mean by this thing? You know, they realize this. They're not going to be going out. These disciples are not looking to go out and start farming. They're following Jesus. They're going to his disciples. So, giving this examples, it's like that. Yeah, we know about this stuff. But are we going to start a commune and go out here and start growing our own food? And we're oh, there's a lot of that kind of stuff in Christianity over the years. Oh, Christians get the weirdest ideas and stuff. Anyhow, now. What we're going to do is this. I want you to, and you can, probably be best, you can write the scriptures down, because we're not going to read each scripture completely. But what we're going to take is the parable of the sower, when Jesus begins to explain it. First, we're going to look at this. We're going to look at the part of the seed. What's the seed? So Jesus is going to tell us on this. Now in Mark 4:14, we're not going to go over and read it. I'm not going to turn to each one and read it. Some of them I will. But here it just tells us, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. What is sowing? What is the seed? It's the word. Words are the seed. Now we want to clarify this. We find in Luke 8:11 says this. Jesus said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So he's speaking specifically about a crop, the type of seed it is. Although you need to know this, all words are seeds. You need to understand that. You're planting stuff with your mouth all the time. Words are seed. You are receiving seeds from other people that you take and allow to be planted in you. People do that all the time. You know, I've watched people all the time, you know, they're, especially people who get over in the things, you know, and they say, you know, people gave them a hard time when they grew up and everybody, oh, they're down on me. They received the words that people said. They received them and let them grow up in them. And now they live a depressed life and poor old me. Why? They received words. Lots of times, you know, say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names can't hurt me. Well, that's today. They have turned it around completely. People are destroyed all the time by words. Why? Because they turn around and receive words from people that actually, you know, you would recover from an injury. But those things, people go a whole lifetime and never recover. Why? Because they receive those words as true. And they take them, and those things produce really well in people. People nurture it. They nurture those words in their life, so they produce a lot of bad things in their lives. So, but we're talking here about the Word of God. This is why you want to follow the Word of God. If you're following God's Word, it's always going to produce something good in you. The only time it doesn't is when you do something else. You can destroy that seed and keep it from producing in you. But if you let the kingdom of God's seed grow in you, every time it'll produce something good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. There is no shadow of turning. There's not something bad. You need to get this, because the Word of God will always produce good. If you're saying, I'm doing this and nothing works out and all that kind of stuff, what are you growing? See, this principle is really important. If you understand this principle, it produces wonderful things in you. It'll produce in you strength and ability in this life. When you face troubles and tribulations, problems and things, you can succeed. Amen. You can keep going. That's what it'll do for you. And see, we need to keep ourselves hooked up into this in our thinking. God is good all the time. There is no other thing. He doesn't produce bad. If God produces bad, then He has bad seed. Why would we have God with bad seed? You wouldn't need the devil then. Mm-hmm. See, what did Eve do in the garden? What did she receive? Bad seed. God had given them seeds. He planted His word. Satan came along and planted his words, and she bought it. And it produced in her exactly what the seed was. Rebellion against God. So, now, Matthew wrote in Matthew 13:19, he said the word, he called it the word of the kingdom. It's the word of God's word are words of His kingdom. Our authority in the earth lies in His kingdom, not in our position here, but our position in the kingdom. And so we want to always hook up with the Word if we're going to walk in our authority here. See, most time Christians are trying to walk in natural authority. They think, you know, they really don't understand how the principles of the kingdom work. They're trying to rule and reign naturally. And that isn't how we do it through the kingdom and the principles of the kingdom by the Word of God. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rules of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. These are the things that we're standing against. And we have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. God in His kingdom has given us authority to rule over Satan's kingdom, to stand against it, to cast him out. We can do those things. Those are things, words. And see, you need to speak words. Too much time. Most of the time, Christians today and most ministries are operating under psychology, things of psychology, trying to deal with people and problems, and nobody's wrestling against the principalities and powers. It's against people all the time. It's always about people and the problems with people. And this is one of the things today. A lot of prayers. I deal with a minister friend of mine, and he's gotten over in the natural, and all this thing about he's seen all this stuff online, and he's, you know, this person, this and this. He's saying things about people, and I cornered him on it. You know, he had no proof of any of it, but he's listening to all this stuff said, and I said, give me some names, exact names of the persons that actually saw that. I said, passing it on down the line, see, it's called hearsay. I said, it won't stand up in a court of law, and it don't stand up in God's kingdom.
Amen.
You go around saying things because you saw it online. Somebody said, I don't care who somebody said. If I want to know the person that actually saw it and said it. Because in court, they're the only people that get to go and give testimony. Amen. And in God's kingdom is founded on this part. You know, under the law, unless somebody actually witnessed something, you couldn't give testimony of hearsay at all. God, under the law, was not accepted. Nobody could be put to death by, you know, today, which we have all this stuff to go out here and say, well, a person, you know, there's all this circumstantial evidence. You couldn't use that under the law. Circumstantial evidence don't count. You got to have the real thing. God would rather have a murderer go free than an innocent man put to death. Today, we don't care. Whatever we can do, we don't care. Isn't it a shame to find some guy's been in prison for 30 years?
Yes.
You think God don't look at that and don't, you know, we call it justicism. Is there any justice in that? And you find time and time again, it's all been circumstantial evidence. God don't go for that. You be very careful about the stuff you talk about that's on the line and so said. I don't care if it's your best friend. If they don't know who exactly it came from, tell them to shut their blab mouth.
Yeah.
There's too much stuff. And I put him in his place. I just told him. Because you're going around saying stuff. Because I want you to understand this. It'll affect your family, you doing that. You can't walk around and tell lies.
Amen.
And say, well, I didn't know. You knew when you said it. I don't care what somebody said. You need to understand these things. See, if we're going to operate in the kingdom of God, we can't be liars.
Amen.
We have to know this is based on the seeds of the Word of God, not some words that a minister said. You have to know it's the kingdom of God. That's why I always appreciate Brother Hagin. He said, you check what I teach, make sure the Word says.
Mm-hmm.
We have too much stuff that's believed today. Somebody else said it. Now we're going to find out about this as we go on with this thing. Now he talked about the wayside. Now first of all, we're going to talk about on the wayside. We'll look at Matthew first on this thing. Matthew, in the 13th chapter and verse 9, and you can go back in to read these things and mark them down and then, you know, go over them later. Matthew said this. He said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. I want you to see what he said. He said those words, that seed got in his heart, in the person's heart. See, a seed can be in your heart, but not produce belief in you. See, faith comes. The seed comes by hearing. The seed don't produce by hearing. We don't have much. We somehow think, well, if I just keep hearing enough, and then I'm going to be. No, you believe. The seed gets planted in you. You have to come to the place of believing what the seed said. Because what do we have here? He says around here, but what does the wicked one do? He comes, that seed, and he snatches that seed out of your heart. How does he do that? By planting, getting you to believe other seeds. See, you can allow Satan to snatch seeds out of you. Faith comes. Let me tell you this. When the word of God is preached, every time faith comes. Every time faith comes. Every time faith comes. Do you think when Jesus was given the parable of the sower, faith wasn't going out? Those words he spoke, those seeds got in their spirit. But what did they do? Let's just go home. We heard the teaching. Let's go. They let Satan, by their own flesh, they went and allowed Satan to snatch the word out of them. They did that. See, the word got in their heart. See, people say this all the time. They didn't really hear it. Does it say that in Scripture? See, but we preach things because we try to justify. No, it said the seed was there, but they allowed Satan to take it. That seed got planted. And so they allowed it. Mark says it this, Mark 4:15 says this, and these are the ones by the wayside when the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So here again, where was the word at? Where was that seed at? It wasn't just in their head. They heard it. In their heart. The seed got in their spirit. See, God's word is spiritual seed. It isn't for your head.
Amen.
See, we have so much psychological teaching. It's not for your head. It is for your heart. Because when it develops in your heart, it'll renew your mind then. It don't go to your mind first. Lots of times, I looked at Scripture over the years and it seemed pretty foreign to me. But receiving is true. This is why, to me, I don't have to understand the thing. My mind don't have to get it all. The Word of God is true, whether I understand it or not. I begin immediately protecting that words, even though I don't understand them. You can protect the Word of God. If you need to understand everything to protect them, you and the devil are going to have fun digging up the seed out of your heart. Because that's what you're going to be doing. You don't have to understand it. See, when God's word comes, it's true. I don't know. I can come to understanding. But you always protect the seed. See, if a farmer goes out here and he plants seed, he better do something about protecting that seed. He don't plant the seed and go back the next day digging up to see if anything's going on there. Naturally, he walks by faith naturally because of what he knows how seeds work. God's word will grow up in you. Be confident of that.
Amen.
God's word, if you protect it and you do so, it will grow up in you and produce.
Amen.
Because you need to understand this. If you and I are getting born again, we have the most fertile seed in the world is the new birth, your new spirit. Christians should be much further ahead than they are. Much further ahead than they are. As we need to understand, the seed in our heart should produce well. It should always produce good. And Luke said this, Luke 8:12 said, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, the soil is your spirit. From the standpoint of what represents, your spirit is the soil of God's seed. Your spirit is. Not your head. It is a spiritual seed produced in your spirit. That's why when Jesus, if you follow the things that he said, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart. He didn't say, well, if your head bothers you, this ain't going to work. He said, your doubts. Where are your doubts? On the inside.
Yep.
See, have you let those words produce in you that you can stand and speak them? See, the guy by the wayside, he can't do that. The devil came and took the words out of him right away. He can't do that. You see, you have to let the seed produce where it produces 30, 60, or 100 fold for you to be able to speak. It has to produce its fruit. The word must be able to produce its fruit in you. Do you understand that?
Yes.
It has to develop up. We don't let it develop. We try many times to bring the word to pass. Really, and it's not in a stage in us to produce yet. It's in us. We're developing a believing in us. We're developing in it. Hallelujah. It's out here. What it needs. Remember Apostle Paul said to the church at Galatia, he said, He sowed, he said Apollo watered, he said God gave the increase. See, lots of times we sit down, the one reason is listening, like with me, I learned to listen to teaching of things over and over and over again. What am I doing? Oh, I know the word's true, I don't even know what it says, but I'm constantly watering it. See, I don't care, you go out here and look at go out here and run a combine through the field to take the corn off. See how it works. Ain't any fruit to take it off. Nothing to take off. See, what you need water. You got the ground, you need some water, you got to keep it, and it'll eventually produce and produce an ears of corn. But you got to keep water. Most people don't do that. They just have some come, they make just one quote, bulk off, and they ain't been ready. There ain't no ears on the corn at all to pick. It ain't going to be working. See, you gotta know when it's time for harvest, when you can say and produce it. You have to know that. See, this is the key. This is about this key. This is about this planting. Just because you planted don't mean you have a harvest. You want to produce a harvest. So, now that word there, they use the word saved there. I want to say to you about this word saved because this is the word sozo. It doesn't, understanding Jesus using it here, he couldn't be talking about being born again because the new birth hasn't been introduced. See, people, everybody teaches that. Well, see, this is about being saved. Now, a person can get born again through the seed of the Word of God today, but this also, this, find out Jesus in ministry used this word sozo, which is a Greek word, which actually means to be healed, it means to deliver, protect. In other words, basically, the Word of God will produce whatever seed you need to help you in your life and whatever you're facing and going through, whether it's healing, whatever it is. This is what sozo is about. To save, it means here is the idea, is for this thing, is deliverance. It also means to persevere, to make whole. Well, it means to protect. So, to walk in line this word, if we follow the word, it'll do that. Now, he used the word there as understanding. The people, we looked through and read about understanding, people not understanding. In other words, understanding is this, it is to perceive and recognize the meaning of something. It's like I said before, you have to know what things mean. Do I understand? Well, if I don't understand, then I need more information. Then I need to study more. I need to understand more. And you know that can really require work. To understand, also we use synonyms of it, of to see, to accept, to conceive, to grasp, to comprehend, to fathom. See, you got to come to the pace. Faith operates under understanding. Faith is not mystical.
Amen.
Once you understand. It's just like in the natural. There's things that if you understand what to do, you can perform it. You can do it. Once you understand it. Well, it's the same way with spiritual principles. Do you understand how spiritual principles work? Do you understand? See, like most people talk about faith. They don't even know how the faith works. Faith don't work by seeing, feeling, or anything like that. But yet that's what most people do when they talk about faith. Well, I feel this, or I feel that. They need a feeling. They need to see something to believe. They need to have all those things. And it isn't that at all. So we need to understand this. Jesus is teaching this principle. This principle is a foundational principle in the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, we go on and find out because they're going to turn around and talk about stony ground. And the stony ground folks, they hear the Word and immediately receive it with joy and gladness. It's, wow, wasn't that neat what they said? That was really cool. Well, we found Matthew in 13. In verses 20 and 21, it says this. This is Matthew, his recording. Matthew says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. In other words, he sees it. It's in his heart. But what does he do? He receives it. He says he wants it there. Hey, I receive it. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's in there. I want it. This is really good. I like it. They see that it's a good thing. Now, but that's what it says. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. What has happened? This person. Now understand, this is a condition of a person's heart. You will find out that people who are like, who have like this, are usually people who are like this in most things in their life. They hear stuff and like it right away, and then they're off to something else. They're of any kind of things in life. There's one thing you're going to have to learn to do, is you're going to have to learn and train yourself to endure. You're going to have to do it. You have to. See, I found this out. You're born into a weak-willed family, you're going to have difficulty. You're going to have to overcome this. You're going to have to quit following your family. I was very fortunate. I had very strong-willed people. What they start to do, they did. They made you. They knew things you had to do in life, and you did them. We were trained the time we were kids. You weren't allowed to do that. That's what we trained our kids. They weren't allowed to start something 1 week and say, next week we're not going to be doing it. Oh, yes, you are. You said you wanted to do it. Get with the program. You're doing it. You're after it. If you let them get away with that, you're going to raise a weak-willed child that's going to be a pain to you, and then you're the major pain. You don't allow that. I remember when our daughter, you know, she wanted to play clarinet in school. And, yeah, you want to play? And I talked with her about it. I said, we don't buy this thing. I said, it's going to take work to learn to do this thing. You're going to say you want to do it? You're going to do it. Now, yeah, we ain't going to buy this thing. And you say, after that, this is work. It's exactly what she wanted to do. When does she say, you won't play it? You're going to keep taking lessons? This is what you're doing. She learned. But you know what? Best thing that happened to her. She grew up knowing how to do things and how to stay with stuff. Mm-hmm. Understand, if your word's no good, your faith is no good.
That's right.
Amen. If you're a person who don't keep your word, don't expect to go along, because you won't even believe you'll keep your word. Right. You'll know how you are. Now, you might lie about it, but you know. You see, training people. No, you're going to do something, accomplish it. When something becomes difficult, you need to teach people how to go through that. You just keep going till you accomplish. Do that till you accomplish. Because what happens, people go through life and they only do what's easy to do, which makes them a failure in life. Because anything that brings success mostly is harder. It requires something out of you. And so you have to decide. See, the kingdom of God, to me, it was not a problem. Because, you know, I was always thankful. You know, I used a story about, because when I worked at HB Reach Candy Company, when I started out there with being a Christian, a lot of people came, followed Christ, and after a short period of time, they ain't following Christ. They're all back off doing their old stuff all over again, and they're back into there. And I found out why. See, they came out of families and things. They came out, the Lord told me, so they come out of families, people, weak will. Nobody stays with doing anything. Mm-hmm. See, this is one of the important things of the kingdom. Is you don't hurry bringing a person to the kingdom, that you sit down and tell them to count the cost.
Amen.
Because you need to tell people, there's a cost to this.
Amen.
If you want to have God in the middle of your life, it's going to require something of you. If you want to see God's hand in your life and you want to see His signs and wonders in you and working in you, you're going to have to go after that. You ain't going to be able, because everything gone along, because it's running contrary to natural. It's running contrary to it.
Amen.
Do you ever notice? God don't do signs and heal people just because they got sick. See, there's something required. And so you want to come to this place. You have to find out what you hunger for. What are you really hungry for? What do you really want? See, this is things that you have to decide. God don't decide these things for you. You have to decide, do I really want this? You know, many people say, yeah, I really want a close walk with God. Think about this. Do you really want to do what's required? Do you really want to do that? Because one of the things that will hurt you is keep saying you really want to, but never do nothing about it.
That's right.
I'll guarantee you this, over time you'll get further away from God.
Yep.
Over time you'll get further away from God.
That is true.
Because why? Your word's no good and you'll just start running. You'll say those things. See, don't say things around people because you want them to think that you're spiritual.
Amen. Preach.
You just hurt yourself. You know, that's spiritually getting a gun out and shooting yourself. You know, There's a lot of lame Christians have shot themselves in the foot so many times because of saying things that they really don't mean, and they're trying to impress somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to impress me. But see, we have to come to that place. What are we going to? Are we going to go after it or not? You know, we have to decide those things. This is just the print. Look, this is not. I'm not saying these things. This is just the way the kingdom works. Now, maybe I'll tell you. You can go to 500 other ministers. I'll introduce them to you. And they'll tell you, "Oh, you're just God's a good. You're going to be all right. You're going to go to." They can say all they want. Ain't true, but that's not true. We just blowing wind. In Mark, the fourth chapter, we have here four verses 16 and 17. Mark says concerning this, about this stony ground, he says, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." So we see he uses the same ones. Well, the Bible tells, the reason I'm doing this, because the Bible says by two or three witnesses you let every word be established.
Yes.
We have too many doctrines in the church world today that are based on one scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no one scripture doctrines.
That's right.
So whoever gave them, it wasn't God.
Amen.
Now in Luke says this, in Luke 8:13 says, "But the ones on the rocks are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root in themselves, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall." You will be tempted. You will be, see, what Jesus said, in the world there's tribulation, and I've overcome. There's things coming against you. There's things that are always going to want you to move off the word. You're always going to see things that look like is going contrary to the way you believe. See, I'm not moved by the politics of the day and what other people are doing out here with all this stuff. That's not my place to stand. That's not, you know. So I don't look at them out here in this. You know, we have most of Christianity is tied to politics. It's tied to who's in office, who this, that. Man, if we gave to the gospel like Christians give to politicians, man, I'm going to tell you what. We might reach the world. You never know. But what we have is what the church believes. They are moved. They aren't moved. They're moved by people and stuff, and not moved by the spirits operating and doing whatever they're doing. That doesn't move them. And so we need to understand we're dealing with people. Now, it talks about these individuals, you know, the word, the root here. This word root is the idea of this. It's a fundamental principle or underlying concept. Is what it's talking about. This is the root in them. It's what is this fundamental principle or underlying concept. That's the root. Understand this. We're dealing with a foundational thing. The Word of God, we want to understand this, has a foundation to it. See, you can't, too many people are trying to build with no foundation. They don't have it in them. They don't understand the fundamental principles. They're trying to follow. That's what these people, they don't have any root. You can't stand. Jesus told the parable about the storm coming. Guy didn't have a foundation and the storm came. What happened? They had sand under themselves. That's all they had to get washed away.
Yeah.
Same principle.
Yeah.
Same. It's foundation. The root is foundation. Do you ever notice, I always said, instead of Wanda, do you ever see these big trees that fall down in the wind?
Yeah.
Never have the roots go down deep. They're always surface roots.
Yeah.
Trees huge, all these surface roots, but the wind really goes and the ground gets wet, they blow over.
Yep.
You get a tree that's deep seated down in, that don't happen. But if those trees, there's a lot of rock underneath of them and the ground isn't deep, they grow out and you know what? They'll fall over time. You know, if you got really stony ground around your house underneath, I don't care if you have a foot of topsoil, might be really nice, great for growing grass. But it might not be great for growing trees and watch your trees you're planting around your house, because you may own a few of those, you know, on your house after a while.
Mm.
Well, this is the principle. See, this is natural things in this world are the same way. Spiritually, on the spiritual side, is the same thing. You must have a foundation. You got to know the foundations. This is one of the things today, we have very little foundational teaching in the church world. People don't know how to stand. People can't go through hard things. We know this, they don't have foundation. They don't have foundation. That's why they can't. That's why every time trouble comes along, you ever run into people and they always fall apart every time something happens and they just have a terrible time?
Yeah.
Well, they're a person with no foundation in their life.
Amen.
See, they're not seen. There's no strength in them. They can't stand storms. Anything comes along, they're thrown. See, the way they believe and the way they think, their understanding is very shallow. They're always moved by the eye, by the feelings. They're always moved by those things. Because they're moved by those things, then it's easy for them to stumble up. It's easy for them to have a problem. It's easy for them to do that. Is one of the things is having success. I've learned to, in over time, you put the word in you to where you can stand when something really happens. You know, you always want to find it somebody. It's like I've said this many times. I have never gone through any kind where, I mean, off the spur of the moment, something serious happens. I've never had one time that God hasn't spoken to me.
Amen.
But you know what? I learned how to hear in the storm. If you haven't, it ain't ever going to happen to you. You're going to have to get the foundation in yourself. You're going to have to learn to practice that foundation. Learn not to spend your time looking what everybody else says, thinks, and this stuff. But the Word of God says this. So if these things happen, the first thing I've learned to do is I turn to my heart. I don't turn to my head or what I see going on.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Right.
When something serious happens, the first thing out of my mouth is not to a human being.
Amen.
First thing I say is, Lord, what's going on? What do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm turning toward His wisdom immediately. If your first thought is, let's get the doctor, let's get the... You may have to do that, but you may... don't make that... Whatever is your first, it's probably going to be your last. That's what you're going to end up following. Always turn toward God. And when I had my heart attack, my first wasn't, let's get 911. I know majority of Christians, that would have been the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You need an ambulance. No, I need to get rid of you quick. What's God got to say about this? What's God's... Mm-hmm. See, you got to get a foundation in you that God will respond to you.
Amen.
If you have this idea that you need to get and pray night and day to get a hold of God, I don't know whose God you got. It ain't mine. God will respond to you. That's His nature. Think about it. What would God think to you from a natural standpoint of being a parent? Would you respond to your child? Why is it that we have this concept that God's difficult to get a hold of and God is? This is why we have trouble, because we believe He is. It is in our teaching, our foundational teaching. We're just trying to, we have to do all these things perfect for God to respond to us. And you know, God responds to me sometimes because I'm an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this, He responds to idiots who will respond to Him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He's amazing.
Amen.
And you got to get over on that thing. You know, people say, yeah, well, God's merciful. Well, when do you want to act like He is? See, this is in your foundation. If you don't act like He is, you can say anything you want.
Amen.
But really what you believe is what you're going to do. You might have sayings that are absolutely true, but they're not foundational. They're not deep in you. So when trouble comes, you don't respond to it. This is why when you find a truth, you just keep watering that thing. If you got stony ground, I want to tell you what you do. You find out what stones you got and get rid of them. You get them out of your spirit. Those stones in there are words that have been put in there that you believe, that are in your foundation that God did not plant there. I found out when I started off, there's things I got, but just because of religious teaching, I had the time from when I was a kid. And I got saved. I had to get rid of things. You know what most people do? They just mix up all the other stuff together and they keep, they never really change. They have the old beliefs and throw the new ones in there, and all it does is contaminate things.
Yeah, amen.
So they don't really have the success. You've got to stop and say, hey, this teaching, here's what the Bible says, this teaching's wrong. That seeds that are in there, sometimes they're hard to get rid of because you allowed them to get root.
Amen.
And you know what? You got to pull them out by the root. What you do is by words that you say. You start with your voice. I don't care what you think.
Amen.
Thoughts don't produce nothing.
Amen.
Words do. And you start saying, that is wrong believing. That's not, I have wrong believing and I refuse that. I'm not going to have that. You start talking to the things you want to get out of you. How did words get in you to begin with? Words said got into you. You can get them out. The devil comes and says something to you and steals the word out of your heart. Well, why don't you throw some stuff out of your heart?
Amen.
If he can steal stuff, you can throw things out. It's the principle of the kingdom. See, if you got a guy planting a crop out there and he planted stuff and he decided he didn't want it, all he got to do is go out there and do spray, go back over it again, plant whatever else he wants. He'll have to do that. Yep. He don't wait and pray to God and say, God, change the crop.
Nope.
See, if you're taught wrong about things, just join the club. We've all been there. Wrong beliefs, wrong ideas, and wrong thinkings. You know, you go along, even stuff, the stuff that I learned over time, when I first started off, and I had certain truths, and I built things around them and found out the thing I knew was truth, but I built wrong things around them. It was my idea of that truth. And I had to throw that out. My ideas of that truth. So you're doing that all the time. You got to get yourself over and say, hey, hold it. This isn't producing what I want to produce. What do I do? Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this concerning the word. He said, if you preach the word, you will never have to pray or ever ask me to follow it with signs. He said, my signs automatically follow the word if it's preached.
Amen.
See, what it is a word problem we have, and we keep trying to fix things psychologically all the time.
Amen.
The seed of the word. There is no seed of the word of God that is tainted in any way.
Amen.
The taint comes from the seeds we plant, or we allowed it to be planted in us. God's word is a perfect seed. So if things don't work, what kind of seed? What am I doing that's contaminating or even stopping God's word to perform what he wants it to? I have to sit down and figure that out. I've got to come to a place of the knowledge of that. They went on, they used the word to endure. The word endure means to carry on through despite hardship. The synonyms of it is sweat out, tough out, continue, or hold out. You've got to learn how to do those. So this is the things that those words are talking about. In other words, it doesn't leave the idea that God's words are going to get planted in your spirit and it's going to be just an easy thing. It's not going to, anything's going to come against you. It is. Things are going to, if devil wants anything to stop, is when you get a revelation from God, he wants to bring that seed to a stop. He don't want that thing. If it gets in you, he will fight that thing a whole way along to try to get you to give that thing up. And if that seed starts to grow up, he'll try to get you, because it's you destroying it. He don't. He can't. He has to get you to join him. His thought, his idea. He can't destroy it. He has no authority or power to. You're the only one who has authority and power to destroy that root that's in you. Why? Because things go out. The word it goes on there, but the tribulation, it's trouble, it's persecution, or temptation comes because of the word. Then they stumble. They fall away or they quit believing. Well, you know, this ain't working out. You know, that must have been wrong teaching. You know, I don't. God must not have meant that. No. Because, you know, if it's really God, it all just work out. No, I'm going to tell you what. You're going to find, you're going along the way, the devil's always going to try to bring things along to stop you from going along the way. You make a stand. See, I made stand and said things already in that stuff. You know, and I know this. I know there's the average Christian is afraid to make faith statements because they're afraid to do it. What if it don't work?
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid of persecution of the word. You're afraid of the trouble that it might bring, because the devil might come, somebody might come, people, whatever it is. You know, so if I keep my mouth shut, nobody knows. I found this out. I say all kind of things. I say stuff in the middle of trouble. You know, most time I make big confessions because I'm in the middle of trouble. I don't say it because I'm out of trouble. If you're out of trouble, you don't have to say it. I will do it. Why? That's my faith talking. I ain't let the devil steal out of me.
Amen.
See, most people won't say something. They won't stop and say something.
Amen.
You know, see, you know, the devil tried to kill Alan. He had to say things.
Amen.
He had to say stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He had a confession. And his confession is what saw him through. But understand this, it would have never saw him through if he hadn't had root in himself already.
Amen.
You don't grow roots in trouble.
Amen.
No, when the trouble comes, you better have root.
Amen.
That's why in the good times, do a lot of watering the seed, doing a lot of good confession, saying the right things, doing the right things. Why? Because when trouble comes, that is not the time to try to grow.
Amen. Preach. Say that again.
Don't go out in the tornado in your field and try to get them crops planted or something, you know. Trying to get that stuff ain't going to work.
Nope. Amen.
Most people don't really get into it till they got trouble. Now I want to be in it. And they want everybody else to get praying. They want everybody else to jump in and do what I ain't been doing. And we're trying to make this thing work. And we're trying to... They're trying to get... And they always go, what? To people who have root in themselves. They never go to all their friends that they hang around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Those so-called Christian friends with no roots. They don't ever go to them. Do they? Well, you know, see, people say, I really don't know. I don't. People are liars. They know a lot more about themselves. How do they know who's spiritual or who not if they don't know anything?
Exactly. Amen.
How do they know who to go to? Why? They know that they're lame and lazy. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what they say. The devil is a liar, and they're in his club. When they do that stuff, they become part of his system.
Amen.
Don't want to ever do that. First thing you do if you get in trouble and you've been lame and lazy, repent.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go on to try to get anybody else to fix your stuff. Stop yourself right there and say, Lord, I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Amen.
And I want you to forgive me for my laziness and my stupidity. You know, I just had the thing just, you know, like myself. There's a level that I've walked in over the years concerning health and things, revelations I've gotten and stuff. There's an expectation God has in me that I know He doesn't have in other people. Doesn't mean there's others that He expects maybe even more than does out of me. But, you know, I had told the story before, but I was down at one of Randy Greer's meetings down in Gatlinburg. This is back numbers of years ago. And I started this thing getting a cough at night. And I'd cough all night. During the day, I'd feel fine. Go to bed at night and just cough, and I just couldn't sleep. It's wearing me out. So the meeting's going on, and it's Wednesday morning, and I get up Wednesday morning. I'm worried I ain't slept all night. I get up in the morning, walk around, I'm fine. But I just stopped. See, I was going around, and I was making a confession. But see, I knew better than what I was doing. The Lord, I said to the Lord, and finally talked to Him about it, you know. What we do lots of times, we just, things ain't working, and you know what we do? We said, well, I just keep saying the right thing. Well, if you've been saying the right thing and you ain't getting no performance, I don't believe in confessing the word and nothing change. I don't
Amen.
Believe in that.
Amen.
I don't believe in that. So anyhow, I stopped and I said, Lord, what is going on here? And you know what? See, He had been silent and I said a thing. Why? I didn't ask. See why God don't talk to you? You don't talk to Him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you how it works.
Amen.
I've been around this a few years. I know a little bit. And I finally talked to Him. I said, what was going on? He said, all you have been doing, you've been focusing on that cough. And I stopped and thought, yeah, I had my confession, but what I'm really looking at is this cough. I was making a confession, but it wasn't, I wasn't wholehearted in it at all. You know, I'm thinking the wrong things. I'm going on. See, I knew all about this. And then he said to me, he said, I want you to go to a doctor. He said, you can't have my best. You know, he may have said that to some of you. You ain't been listening. Because you won't step out to where you know you need to go. And you can't, I'm not talking about just sickness. There's things you can't get his best because you know better and what you're doing. Now, I ain't saying this criticism. I'm just letting you know. I found out by mistake. I messed up. And he corrected me on it. And he said, you're going to have to go to a doctor. I said, I don't know any doctors down here. He said, you call down to the desk. They'll tell you right where you can get one. And they did. I called down the desk and they told me where I could go. And you know what I did? I obeyed. See, I knew all about confession stuff. But when God tells you, you better get moving on it. Because you ain't going to get nowhere. If he's talking and you're not listening, he don't care. He expects you to listen to what he said, not know what you're doing. You're on your own. You want to listen to what he says. Make sure you listen to what he says. And I did. I went to the doctor. And you know what I did? He told me to go there and I obeyed what the doctor said to do. Doctor said, you're going to have a prescription. I'm going to send you for it. You need to take this. I thought, well, you know, God said I couldn't have his best. So, you know, I at least want to get some help. If it's natural, I want to get some help.
Yeah.
But you know what? I obeyed and God healed quickly. I mean, real quick. Till the day's over, I'm doing great. But, because I obeyed. I got back into grace because I had left it not using faith. If you're not using faith, don't even think about the grace thing. Grace comes to us through faith always. And if I had my so-called faith misplaced, therefore got rebuked by God. And I was, you know what? I am glad he did it. I might be coughing today yet. I'm making a confession. I watch people do that for 20 years, making the confessions, and they never change. I watch them just walk down the same stupid path. And, just, and people, you try to talk to them about it, don't pay a bit of attention. Oh, I'm in faith. Yeah, faith don't produce anything. See, we need to get thinking about these things. You know, amen. You know, I've been rebuked by God. I mean, and you know what? Never once have I been rebuked by him that he hasn't turned things around for me, because every time I've repented when he's rebuked me.
Amen.
And I've, oh, he's always turned things around for me. Always. The reason many people never get things changed around is they never repent for what they're doing. And that thing. I'm going to tell you what. You better ask God. Don't go ask God to fix things for you when you haven't repented for what you did. When you haven't stopped and said, I've been out of line in this, Lord. I've been doing the wrong thing. I'm going to tell you what. During the night, so many times I have laid in my bed at night and repented. You sleep a lot better that way too. I've laid in bed and, Lord, sometimes I just look back over things and I think, you know, Lord, I haven't been walking in the light I should in this one area. And the first thing I do is I ask him to forgive me not doing that.
Amen.
See, he shouldn't have to tell you everything.
Amen.
There's too much that you know that you ignore.
Come on. Come on.
Hey, I'm not talking about somebody else doing it. I'm talking about me doing it. I'm knowing about this stuff.
Amen.
And I found this out, that when you do that, I'm going to tell you, it's amazing what he will do. People have dirt piled this high, and they just keep ignoring it and asking God to help them. They never repent of anything. Well, now I know what to do. I'm just going to go start doing what's right. No, you better talk to God about what you've been doing wrong.
Amen.
That caused all this mess to be.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get it all. You want to get. Don't bury it under the rug. You know? Pull that whole rug out. Get rid of that rug so you always see the dirt. You got things that hide dirt, get rid of it. Because there's one, I found out, repentance is such a wonderful thing, and it is. It's to get things cleared out of the way. Get any things that's been unrighteous out of the way. Just get it out of the way. Anything that causes you to stumble up, anything, because God's not nervous about it. He said he'd forgive, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, anything you did. He said he'd cleanse it. He didn't say you were going to have to do 10 Hail Marys and you have to do this or that, and if, you know, walk 10 miles and, you know, jump over this or do that. You know, never said none of that. He said, he just cleansed you from all unrighteousness if you admit it. See, this is one thing. You have to admit it. This is what confession is there. It means to admit.
Amen.
You admit you were wrong. Now, for a lot of people, that's hard. We don't ever admit we're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've admitted I was wrong so many darn times.
Amen. Amen.
You know, you got to sit down about yourself. Just keep yourself clear before God, because these are the things that hinder our relationship between Him and us.
Amen.
Right. They keep things where they're not clear. These things hinder communication. See, when we know we have things, we don't have a freedom to really talk to Him about stuff and really about things. There's not that freedom, and you know it. See, your heart knows if you can really approach Him or not. Your
Amen.
Heart knows that. You can sit and play all the games in your mind, and you can listen to all the preachers act like, yeah, just go on and just say, oh, God loves you. It's all going to turn out all right. You can believe anything you want.
Come on.
You better listen to your heart.
Amen.
Because that's the place that produces the seeds of the kingdom.
Amen.
They aren't produced in your head and in some preacher sending him an envelope with some money in it. It's produced in your heart.
Amen.
So you want to deal with your heart. Why? Because God wants you to go. God's system, He wants your heart to be that He can place seeds in there and it produces the glory of His kingdom in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He wants you to grow up to be able to withstand whatever pressures and things come in life, where you overcome, where you don't lose your joy. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If you could just go on and you don't lose your joy. You know? Have you ever had it at times you lost your joy? Have you ever been there?
Yes. Amen.
Sure, we've been there. But you know what? I know how to get back in joy again.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know how to get back in joy. I know how to get over where you don't lose that. You don't want to stay over there. There's nothing more tormenting about life than you lose your joy, your confidence, your patience. Mm-hmm. You're in torment because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, what's going on. You're now into worry. You can lie about it, say anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's there.
Yep.
That's a horrible life.
Yep. Amen.
That's a terrible life to live in that place. That's a place, that's the devil's camp. He owns that place. He runs it. His imps dominate and ruin that place. And they'll just keep picking at you and picking at you and picking at you and drive you. This is what's wrong with most people. See, you want to grow to the place, and just like, you know, in natural life, growing up with children, you don't want to say them, keep them running in life where they're just dominated by their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You got to train them.
That's right.
Amen.
The Bible doesn't say teach a child on the way he should go.
Train them up.
You know what training means? You make them do it.
That's right.
They say, yeah, but I don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to? How do you like eating? How do you like having a place to say? Say, you get out of school, you're out the door. You ain't coming back. You don't want to be trained? Goodbye.
Come on, preach.
Hey, this is a training ground here.
Preach.
You don't train. And my house is training. You come and live in my house, I'll train you.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care what you say. I'm old enough to make my own decisions. Well, then get your own house.
Amen.
Make all your decisions you want and don't call me when you go under.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Amen.
So you want to be trained. See, I want to be. I live in God's house. You know what? He never quit training me. He's still training me.
Amen.
He's still trying to get me to grow up.
Amen.
What about you?
Amen.
See, it's the same thing.
Amen.
He's working. This is why. This is a principle of life. This is a principle, spiritual principles of the kingdom of how they work. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
People can say anything they want. There's one thing. It's one day all of us are going to step to that side.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And you're going to find out if you didn't grow up here, you're going to have to grow up there.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't do things to get reward here, there's no reward there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no trophies for everybody.
Nope.
Just because you participated and came in the kingdom, that don't mean there's any reward. You might have all straw and sticks.
Yeah.
You know, I hope your house ain't made of that in heaven. I don't want a stick house. I don't want a little log cabin in the corner of glory land. Hallelujah. Because think about this. People, if you understand, this is about eternity we're stepping into.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
This down here ain't spit. It's about that reward for eternity. So let's set ourselves to be ready for that. Amen? Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Thank you for instructing us. Thank you, Lord God, for working in us. Father, we're here, and Lord God, we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And Lord God, you're revealing to us, Lord God. Father, use us to train others.
Amen.
Learn, teach us, Lord God, to teach others.
Amen.
Lord, to instruct people, to show people the truth. Lord God, you love them. You're not out to hurt people. But people need to grow up. Hallelujah. And Father, we need to talk to people about their need. Lord, too many people are trying to be carried today. And too many Christians are trying to carry people. And Lord God, it leads to nothing but failure in the church. And Lord God, our great desire is to fulfill your will and your purpose. Lord, we want to please you. Lord, there's many out here that are calling. They're trying to get us to please them. The world calls for us. What they want and what they want to do to make them happy. Lord God, we set ourselves and our purpose is to make you happy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That you joy in the works of our hands. That you joy, Lord God, in our walk of life. Lord God, that you get to fellowship and talk with us. Hallelujah. Lord God, that's what you long to do with all your children, to spend time with them, to reveal yourself to them and through them and in them. And I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, you're so gracious and kind, and you have sure been so good to the church. Hallelujah. Lord, you have been so long-suffering, and it's just hard to imagine. But we thank you, Lord God. Lord, I know, and you've spoken to me, Lord God, much in this area lately. Hallelujah. That things are coming to an end and coming to a close that many of your people don't know. And they don't realize where they stand. And I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for an awakening.
Amen.
Awakening in the church.
Amen.
That people are awakened to their position and their place in the church. Hallelujah. Lord God, that they gain knowledge of their strengths, but also their weaknesses. That they know, Lord God, where they walk and where they stand. That they no longer, Lord God, trying to fool others, which they can't fool anyhow. Lord God, that they will see what they need to do and come to the light of the truth and walk in it. Lord God, if anything, we want you to be glorified and magnified. Lord God, it is your great work that is in us that brings us to completion, Lord God. There's nothing with anybody else. Lord God, we center our praise and glory. It's what you accomplish in us. We don't accomplish these things because we're so wise, because our wisdom comes from you. You're the great wise God. Thank you for sharing it with us. Thank you for revealing it to us and then giving us grace to carry it out. You're wonderful. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.